Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Hey, everyone. This is JVL here with my Bulwark colleague, Andrew Egger, with, another unhappy video for you explaining the things that are going on in the world that are terrible. Before we get started, you should go ahead and hit like and subscribe because it's not going to get any happier after this. Andrew, people are very concerned about political violence these days. We've written a lot about that at the Bulwark, starting in 2016 when Donald Trump was holding political rallies and telling his supporters to assault people and promising to pay for their legal bills, going through Charlottesville murder of Heather Heyer, going through the various spates of political violence we've had on the right and the left, right? Shooting of Steve Scalise, and through January 6th, and then to the terrible assassination of Charlie Kirk. This is a thing that I think you and I can agree that not the president or Stephen Miller or many Republicans, but some people have been very responsible about on the right. On the left, every name brand Democrat or liberal, I think, has behaved responsibly. I don't think we can point. You can find posts on Blue Sky and Twitter with progressive types saying irresponsible things, but I don't think you can point to, like, hey, this representative or this senator or this governor or the editor of this magazine has been bad on this stuff. Would you agree?
Yeah, you can kind of stress test that proposition by the fact that, you know, the people who have been upheld, especially sort of in the wake of the assassination of Charlie Kirk, the people who have been kind of held up as like the most grievous examples of left-wing justification of this sort of violence have been like small town mayors, guy who maybe runs the city council in some 800 person Pennsylvania town. There was one of those. More at the national level, there's been this effort to censure Ilhan Omar, a congresswoman who, you know, retweeted a video basically right after the assassination, basically saying, like, I condemn political violence, but let's not like sugarcoat, you know, Charlie Kirk's life and work. And, you know, the video kind of went after his work in pretty strident terms, but was explicitly saying, you know, no violence, we don't sanction the violence. And that's kind of been like the person that Republicans have sort of held up as like the worst of the worst right now. So yes, I think it's basically fair to say.
And to be clear, again, want to give credit where credit's due. Utah Governor Spencer Cox, very good on this. I mean, even Ted Cruz, very good on this. Like, no justifications of violence from them. Donald Trump, a little less so. Stephen Miller, a little less so, but that's okay. Today, we have a piece over at the Daily Caller, which is, it's not the New York Times, but it's not nothing. I would say Daily Caller exists. Would you agree on the same level as, like, Breitbart, like a rung above the Federalist, sort of maybe a half rung below Breitbart in terms of prominence? Does that sound about right to you?
Yeah, and they were founded, you know, however long ago, before I got to Washington. It was Tucker Carlson who originally founded the Caller, right? And it was kind of supposed to be sort of this upscale, reporting first, more sort of respectable right-wing publication, sort of ended up doing the thing most right-wing publications do or did at that time, which is chase a lot of traffic with, you know, sort of histrionic content. Although the Daily Caller, I seem to remember, also itemized pretty hard into like cheesecake, like listicles.
Yeah,
that back in the day. So that was sort of a weird moment in time. Yeah, exactly. Judgment. When are we going to do that? As far as like where they are now, it's like they still have a pretty decent DC presence. So they do more actual reporting than a lot of these other right wing outlets, not just sort of like opinion stuff. But
don't go crazy. I mean,
they have reporters, more, right? There are reporters.
They occasionally do a reported piece through their news foundation.
Mm-hmm.
That's about it. Okay, so today we get a piece by, again, not a nobody, not a 22-year-old intern. Jeffrey Ingersoll, who is currently editor at large, was one time the big boss chief over at the Daily Caller. And he has a column, the headline of which is "Enough is Enough, I Choose Violence." I got to say, as a huge fan of Cersei Lannister, I was not immediately put off by the headline. I was like, okay, like I'm ready to roll with that. I'd like to journey through this, though, with you. I'm just going to read loads of quotes for us to book club here. Here's Jeffrey Ingersoll. "We need to reinstitute a public debt for antisocial and subversive behavior. In my opinion, some of this cost needs to be summary and ultra violent. Is this a call for violence? Yes, explicitly it is." I mean, full credit to Ingersoll for not hiding the football here. He's not trying to, there is nothing in this piece that is put there to give him plausible deniability. Do you have thoughts here? Or do you want to save them to the end? Should we keep moving through? You tell me.
My very first initial thought is just not just violence, but ultra violence. I wonder if Ingersoll means anything specific by that, or whether that's just kind of a punch up word to make the copy sing a little more.
Well, we'll get to that. He has some examples. So he then goes on there. He then begins to justify why ultraviolence is necessary. And it is because society has become so rotten and legal structure is no longer, basically it's the Batman. That's why he gives again, because Batman, that's why. Here he is again. "In corrupt legal scenarios where the judges, prosecutors, and even police are all a part of a rigged system, what do? Choose violence. We all know the government is not going to help you in your time of need, especially a Soros-sponsored government. Conservatives looking to peacefully assemble and publicly debate need to be realistic. Nobody is going to help you. In fact, they're going to encourage violence. They're going to excuse, justify, and encourage it. We saw as much with Charlie Kirk. They were practically begging someone to go after him. And when someone did, they quickly justified it." So a couple things here. I think everybody could probably recognize that governments and laws do not always and everywhere satisfactorily handle outbreaks of political violence and violence, right? Sometimes people who appear to be guilty get off. That's a thing that happens, right? Many people thought the Kyle Rittenhouse killings were not actually good examples of lethal self-defense, but a jury of his peers didn't agree with that and found him innocent. And so this is a thing that happens, right? Sometimes prosecutors don't do the thing that we want them to. Sometimes juries don't do the things that we want them to, et cetera, et cetera. He doesn't seem to recognize it. He seems to take, like, you know, any case in which he doesn't get the outcome he wants is an example that society is rotten and the government isn't going to help you in your time of need. But then he talks about how they justified what happened to Charlie Kirk. And again, as we said at the top, like, who is they?
I mean, he has some examples through here, right? He takes a weird detour into, like, I don't just mean like physical street violence. I also mean legal violence, which we should deploy to go after Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and Barack Obama and Anthony Fauci and like anybody who's ever displeased me, the editor at large of the Daily Caller, should probably have the pants sued off them and their lives ruined. I mean, I don't know what is there one through line? I don't know. I mean, it's all he's really letting it fly.
Yeah. So here we get, and I'm going to let the legal violence stuff sit to the side because I think that's wrong. But like, you can have a conversation about that. Like, you know, that's not. Here's the stuff that starts getting pretty rough. "Bring security with you that's dying to dole out drubbings. I'm sure a fair amount of ex-cons who found Jesus loved Charlie Kirk. Maybe they need work. Whatever works. We need to reinstitute the cost. So some activist takes the sign next to your table at a public debate, like what happened here," and he includes a link. "She gets instantly clotheslined. I don't care if police are present. do it anyway. In fact, be wildly disproportionate. A fat black lady assaults your on-camera talent. Book the kind of security that has no qualms hospitalizing her and people like her. I mean, I wonder what he means by that. Dudes rope up your car and start vandalizing it. Bros dismounting with cudgels will fix that real quick. Turn it into an instant brawl, break bones, force corrupt police to intervene. I want blood in the streets. Before we go on here, I just have to ask, can you imagine what Fox News would say and how much airtime they would give if the editor of the New Republic wrote a piece demanding, I want blood in the streets?
We had a little mini scandal along these lines when a random Canadian alt weekly had a piece in the wake of Charlie Kirk's death. Did you see anything about this? I don't remember the name of the publication, but like that was how keyed up they all were for like an instance of you know, leftist rhetoric going too far. They dragged this poor, you know, mid-tier broadsheet from I don't know, Calgary or something. It wasn't Calgary, but like, yes, you are 100% correct. It would not go unnoticed if you know, Current Affairs or the New Republic or the New Yorker were to itemize into this kind of rhetoric.
We must stop clutching our principles and shouting stop. I mean, only some of you are clutching your principles and shouting stop, my conservative friends. They own the legal system. That will achieve nothing. Not in Texas, is it? Where you're allowed to like run people. Anyway, never mind. We need action. Disproportionate, violent action. Pain and suffering. We need to raise the cost of obviating the social contract. Measure it in blood if necessary. Change requires pain, and you're either taking it or inflicting it.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
That is Jeffrey Ingersoll of the Daily Caller. Again, not an intern, former head of the Daily Caller, now editor at large, and also not a one-off. If you go through his most recent pieces, restoring public order starts with viciously arresting more street liberals.
Street liberals. Nice. Okay.
The rotten smell at the core of liberal politics is unmistakable. The playbook Trump should follow in Kirk's wake is simple, but it'll take brass balls. Charlie Kirk's murder should result in a purge. Does Trump have what it takes?
Can I talk about this just for a quick second? Because
sure,
this is as I was reading through this and hearing you read those clips, the thing that was going over and over in my head is you would think these two things are like totally irreconcilable, right? That like that if it is true that like the federal government is starting to like really already crack down on these people, you wouldn't have to also call for street violence, right? I mean, you could just do the, you know, everybody relax, Patriots in control, Donald Trump's getting rid of, you know, the horrible George Soros prosecutors and the left-wing judges, and we've had this huge reactionary movement in this country to kind of distance ourselves from, certainly from defund the police, but like from any real concern for like, you know, human rights in policing, that there's been this enormous pendulum swing back toward, you know, law and order, anti-crime policies, and like all of those things are having these effects throughout the justice system. And isn't that a good thing? But on the one hand, he's calling for more and more and more of all of that. And then on the other hand, he goes over to this column and says, now, as all of us know, the justice system is completely incapable of dishing out justice. No one will ever receive their just desserts through legal channels. And the only thing for you, Joe Patriot, to do is get out there and start cracking heads. Like, I don't really understand that. The one other thing that I would say is just, it really grinds my gears how like these things are always written from a sort of like a posture of like, I'm the only bold truth teller who's willing to say the thing that must be said, right? Like everyone else will clutch to their pearls and respect the liberal pieties of course we oppose violence, but not me, because I know what really needs to be done. And it's like, it doesn't take any particular like bravery to say what is really just sort of the default like animal human response to like hostile stimuli. You see a lot of people out there who you don't like for one reason or another, and you think that like they're getting more over on you than your side's getting over on them, and your kind of Neanderthal response is to want to dish out violence. And like, we've sort of moved past that. Sometimes we have sort of lifted ourselves gradually out of the muck of sort of, you know, Thomas Hobbes, you know, state of nature, of you know, nasty, solitary, poor, brutish, and short human violence, one on another, by like building all these social structures that like channel that anger off away from violence, and, you know, channel better human behavior and better constructive things. And like, those are fine. It's good that we did that. It's like the idea that like everything that we have done since sort of like the Stone Age is really just sort of like these liberal niceties.
It's a mistake.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, come on, man. Like, I don't want to live in a cave and wear animal furs and try to bash your head in with a club before you can do the same to me. That doesn't sound great. And I don't know if you would make it very far in your job as a web columnist under such an environment either, Mr. Ingersoll. So that's very silly.
I mean, it's all about power, right? And this is what fascism always winds up being. It's just about power. It's not about internal consistency. It's not like, you know, believe me, Jeffrey Ingersoll is not bothered by the tension between, yes, Trump is doing what needs to be done. Look at all these ICE agents throwing people down to the street. That's awesome. And you can't trust law or the government to safeguard you. We need to form up our own vigilante gangs and go out and put blood in the streets. Like, that, there is no pause being given between like, hey, And the biggest tell on this is how MAGA approaches police authority. So whenever you see armed agents of the state committing violence against, say, anonymous black or brown people, the default reaction for MAGA is, well, you know, they deserved it. And it's always like, well, you know, they shot this guy and, well, you know, he didn't comply fast enough. Or they threw this grandmother down onto the ground. Well, she touched them with her elbow. You know, like, there's always But then you get to like January 6th, and you're like, these people were beating the police. How dare they shoot that brave patriot, that poor lady, right? And it's this weird, again, it's all just power. Like, there's no, it's just pure might makes right.
And it kind of collapses really any actual distinction between like actual spheres of authority where, you know, specifically delineated agents of the state are righteous in wielding force under specifically delineated situations under the law in a constrained way, right? Like, that matters less, much less, in fact. I mean, like, he's very plainly making it here. He wants the agents of the state to continue to wield power because the state is currently in the hands of a right-wing government. Right. But he also thinks that you know, again, Joe Patriot out there on the street corner have just as much of a right as those cops do to wield power, because you also are wielding power on behalf of the political right, right? I mean, that is ultimately what it boils down to, is cops who are, you know, trying to forcibly constrain a right wing, you know, Trump supporting mob on January 6th from doing whatever they might want to do, are not wielding their authority like duly, because they're doing the opposite of the right thing, which is for the political right to get its way, right? And so, like, you strengthen the left-right distinction here to such a degree that there really is no distinction between like an ICE agent beating up somebody and you yourself beating up somebody, because it all really amounts to the same thing, which is putting the left in their place.
Yeah. And final thought here, there is this impulse, especially in the media, to both sides everything and be like, well, you know, left-wing political violence is also really bad. And not, look, you know, not everybody on the left said the right things about the Charlie Kirk murder. Here are these five anonymous accounts on Blue Sky that said terrible things justifying violence. I just think it is very important to say that if some liberal magazine editor wrote this column, basically every Democrat with any sort of national ambition would be put on the spot and told to repudiate it. I think that editor would probably lose his job within an hour or two. He certainly would never be welcome as a panelist on CNN again or CBS News. this is, again, we're not nutpicking. We're not grabbing some piece written by an intern for a blog that you've never heard of. This is the Daily Caller, which is, you know, I would say like a second or third tier conservative media institution. And this is a guy who was the editor and is now the editor at large, saying explicitly that he's making a call for violence and he wants blood in the streets. And you guys out there listening to this, I want you to leave in the comments for me the name of every Republican, elected Republican, and conservative writer, conservative personality out there who you see denouncing this guy. Because it's going to be a short fucking list. That's the asymmetry. Guys, hit like and hit subscribe. We'll bring you more of this sunshine on a near hourly basis from now until the end of America. Andrew, thanks for hanging out with me. I always show you a good time, don't I?
It's we have fun, you know.
Good luck, America.